Am I as good looking as I think I am?
I wonder where normal people find friends.
Where would I find out how to be a good dad?
Should I be taking my kids to church?
What is up with my nose hair?
Crossroads Church. Real people asking real questions.
Crossroads Church is a community of people across the country, trading isolation for friendship, insecurity for hope. We're pursuing God in the midst of our mess, a God who loves us and takes us on incredible adventures. Check us out.
Remember how Christmas felt when you were a kid? What if you could feel like that again? This December, have the best season ever.
Well, let's stand up together. Every time we gather to sing for joy to our King. So wherever you are, stand with us and sing together.
Why this jubilee? Why your joyous
in excelsis Deo. In excelsis Deo.
'Sweaty now. With this thing. Sorry. Those words, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Yes, even a boy from Kentucky can pronounce those words sometimes. Gloria in excelsis Deo. In English, it means glory in the highest to God, or glory to God in the highest. And we find these words in the story about the shepherds in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, third book in the New Testament. And we see the story of the shepherds the night Jesus was born, that an angel comes to visit them and then surrounds them with a multitude of angels, this army of angels. And I say army intentionally. It's not like babies with wings. These warriors of light come, and the shepherds tell us they hear them singing this massive song with these words: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I've just spent this week in this story and with this song and thinking about these words, and what strikes me is they could have chosen any other word to come after glory to God in the highest. They could have chosen power and might or joy or strength or whatever you think of. But they chose the word peace. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. We talked about peace last week. Peace is not on the surface and it's not circumstantial. It's deep within. And I find myself going, that's what I need. That's what I want. I want that kind of peace. And the angels have something to teach us even in that song. They say, peace begins with bringing glory to God. You want to find peace? You need peace? Then recognize that he is king and all glory belongs to him. And so we're going to sing a song that describes that and says, you are worthy of everything we have. I surrender everything to you. It's about him being king. And sometimes we invite each other. We have a posture that we may take when we sing, whether it's hands up or palms out in front of us. Today, I want to invite you into the posture of a deep breath. I need peace among the chaos. And I think today we can give each other some peace in this moment. And so the posture, wherever you are, take a deep breath, like a yoga deep breath, like in through your nose and out. We'll sing this together. And oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and a soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel's voices. Oh, Christ was born, and oh, light, divine, oh, light, divine. Truly, he taught us to love. Gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. And Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever.
found in glory. Yeah, the more proclaim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You are so worthy, King. So worthy and so good. So many of us have found you to be the King of everything that we are. We've acknowledged that, we've recognized that, and in that we find peace. Like something we never ever imagined. So we breathe in your peace as we breathe out your praise, God. Pray this because of who we've seen you to be, Jesus. Amen. Oh, beautiful, right? Yeah. Well, before you have a seat, turn around and greet somebody around you. Yeah, man. Well, our teams all around Crossroads everywhere have been working hard and harder than you could ever imagine for the past several months and weeks, and we have something amazing that's happening this week that we want you to be there for and your neighbors and friends to be there for. It's called Christmas at Crossroads.
Shall I play for you on my drum?
Well, Merry Christmas. Today we are in Batesville, Indiana with our Crossroads Batesville crew. And I'm so excited to be here with you. Are you guys alive this morning? Yes. You know, we talk a lot at Crossroads about there's communities of people all over the country who are doing Crossroads. And really, there are communities of people all over the country who are doing Crossroads, part of Crossroads, who are loved parts of our community. And you guys are one of them. And so it's really fun to get to be here in person with you today and to show the rest of the country what it looks like to do church in your home. And so I'm honored to be here. Next week is Christmas. And so we're going to be doing Christmas at Crossroads, which means Christmas at your home, Christmas at your work conference room, Christmas at your gym, wherever it might be. That is Crossroads, where people gather to experience God. And so that's going to happen every hour on the hour, beginning December 23rd through 25th. You can experience Christmas and invite your friends and family and coworkers and the people you work out with and the people that you see at the grocery store. You can invite them all in to experience Christmas at Crossroads with you. Well, this is the end of the year, and God has done some amazing things in our church and through our church this year that we've gotten to be part of. And those of us that are on the Crossroads team, those of us who have said, man, I want to give of my finances to help fuel what God is doing in this church and through this church. And I just want to say to you, well done. And I believe that God has more to do through our team and in our team this next year in 2019. And so if you want to be a giver, you can do that by going to crossroads.net/give, and you can give one time or reoccurring, do a year-end gift. And I'm just thankful for those of you that I get to be on the team with who help fuel the ministry and the mission of Crossroads week in and week out. Well, today we're talking about Christmas surprise, because we're in this season, have the best season ever, and this is the last week of it. And so we're going to talk about Christmas today, and we're going to just simply look at the Christmas story. I have up here, you might be able to see, this nativity set. Oh, the poor lamb fell over. This nativity set, that is the nativity set from my parents' house that we played with as kids. Here's a little wise man. He's got a chip off his crown because someone probably dropped him. The star fell off of the angel's hand, because who can contain the star? Not even the angel in this nativity set. And we're going to look at some of the characters, not the donkey. Well, actually, maybe the donkey. He could be important. So we're going to look at some of the characters in the Christmas story today, because I don't know if we've ever looked at the characters in the Christmas story and gone, what do they all have in common? What are some things we can learn from the Christmas story based on the experiences of the wise men and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels? What do they all have in common in this story? And so we're going to take a look at all of them today, because I think that there are some themes that they experience that might be true about what you and I experience in the midst of Christmas, what might be true about what you and I experience in the midst of meeting Jesus as well. And so before we do that, before we dive into that a little bit further, let's pray. God, I thank you for this sweet community of people, for this church that we get to be part of. I thank you for my new friends here in Batesville today, and I thank you for the people who are on our team and part of our community all over the country. The ones who just want to know more about you, who want to dive deeper into a relationship with you. And so I just ask that today you would meet us wherever we are, and that we would experience you, maybe get an idea or a vision from you that is new and exciting and could propel us well into Christmas and into the new year. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen. So we have some characters that are very, very familiar in the Christmas story, but I don't want to make any assumptions that you know them, although I know that you do. But that's okay. I'm not going to assume that. We're going to read the Christmas story together anyways, and I would love for you to just close your eyes. I want you to picture these people as we talk about them. I want you to picture what they might have been wearing, what they might be feeling, what might be around them as I read this story, okay? This comes from Luke chapter 2. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. We talk about these characters, and we have nativity sets like this at home with these characters. And man, the reality is, for every single one of these people and animals, their lives were rocked when Jesus showed up. Their lives were completely changed when Jesus showed up. There's some things that we can learn from them, because not only did Jesus break in at Christmas time in the lives of these characters, but he breaks in all year long, Christmas being part of that time, into our personal lives. And there are things that we can learn from these characters about our daily lives today when we let Jesus break into it. And so there are three themes that I see happen here when Jesus broke into the lives of the shepherds and of Mary and of Joseph and of the wise men. So we're going to talk about these three themes and what happened. The first is, when Jesus broke in, it was unexpected. It was totally unexpected. I mean, let's just take Mary for a minute. Here she is. She's on her knees praising the Lord that she just birthed. And, you know, Mary was 13. I bet it was an unexpected teenage pregnancy for Mary's parents and for her. I mean, can you imagine being 13? How old are you?
14.
You're a dude, so you won't totally get it, but like, imagine being pregnant. Crazy. Now you're thinking about it and you're like, oh Lord, please no. Mary got pregnant at 13, and not because she had sex, but she got pregnant at 13 because the Lord had favor on her. That was unexpected. Joseph, surprise, you're marrying a pregnant lady who didn't have sex with you or anybody else. It's the Lord's baby. I bet that there was some unexpected reactions from Joseph. The shepherds are just out in their field. Here's one of them. He's holding a lamb. I think that the shepherds probably were a little more grungy looking than this, if you ask me. They're like reeling in sheep and wild animals. And they're out in the fields doing their work, their daily work, and angels show up. Unexpected. I don't think that's how they thought their Tuesday at 10 a.m. was going to go, if you ask me. And then the wise men studied the stars, okay? So they knew what was going on in the stars. And when they found out that there was a star that could lead them to Jesus, they reoriented their whole work around it. Unexpected. That's not how they probably planned their year to go. I'm gonna reread you part of the story that just talks about the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Because we're terrified when something unexpected happens. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go out to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." Not only was it unexpected when Jesus showed up for these angels, for the angels too, but for the shepherds. But then they were forced with a decision. Because when Jesus broke in, there was an invitation to an adventure that was waiting. The shepherds, the wise men, Joseph, they had to make the decision if they were going to go on the adventure to meet Jesus. Now, adventure is a totally overused word, if you ask me. I mean, how many of us have a pillow or something in our home that says, like, adventure awaits, take the adventure, something about adventure. Walk into Hobby Lobby or Home Goods and it's everywhere, right? And we take adventures because we want the Instagram posts, let's be real. Like, we want the picture at the top of the mountain with the view to go, like, I climbed that, or the top of the volcano with the view to go, I climbed that. I use that example because it's super real for me. A few years ago, we went to Nicaragua. Oh, gosh. We went to Nicaragua, and we got the invitation to go on an adventure to climb a volcano. A volcano that hadn't been active in a really long time. Don't worry, I asked that question. But nevertheless, climb a volcano. And I was going, this is great. How many of my friends have ever climbed a volcano? Like, none. So I'm going to have the best posts, and this is going to be a great story. Do it for the memories, do it for the story, right? So I climbed to the top of the mountain, and there's a really happy picture of me, me and my dad at the top of this volcano. Great. What you don't see in anybody's Instagram posts or on the pillows that you could pick up at Hobby Lobby is what it looks like halfway up the volcano, or what it looks like the morning when they tell you you're gonna climb a volcano, I will tell you halfway up the volcano, it didn't look so great because it was hard and it was painful. My body ached and I was tired and hungry and there were bugs everywhere. And yet I don't tell you about that because at the beginning of an adventure and at the end of the adventure, it just seems so great. And in the middle of it, it's difficult, almost always. And I believe that this was probably true about what these characters were experiencing when Jesus broke in. He was inviting them onto an actual physical adventure to come and meet him. And it was not an easy adventure, let me tell you. Let's just take Mary and Joseph for a minute. I think that this adventure for them was probably pretty difficult. I mean, I was 9 months pregnant once, and I can't imagine traveling 90 miles on foot or on a donkey to get somewhere. You know, there's a reason that donkeys are called an ass, right? Because they are one. And so Mary had to sit on one because it hurt her feet. She was 9 months pregnant to walk 90 miles to get to where Jesus was to be born. There was an essay in the LA Times a couple years ago that a scholar did a study on what it would have actually taken to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the journey that Mary and Joseph would have had to have gone on. And I just want to read you what he says about what that adventure probably felt like for them in the middle of it. He says this: "It was a fairly grueling trip. In antiquity, the most we find people traveling is 20 miles a day. And this trip was very much uphill and downhill. It was not simple." The scholar estimates that Joseph and Mary likely would have traveled only 10 miles a day because of Mary's impending delivery. So that's like 9 days of traveling 10 miles a day. The trip through the Judean desert would have taken place during the winter when it's in the 30s during the day and rains like heck, said Strange. It's nasty, miserable, and at night it would have been freezing. To protect themselves during inclement weather, Mary and Joseph would likely have worn heavy woolen cloaks constructed to shed rain and snow. Imagine hiking 10 miles in a full wool cloak, 9 months pregnant, okay? And the, or just imagine, that's one picture. Another one is, imagine Joseph hiking with a 9 month pregnant wife in full cloak clothes. You can imagine what she was saying to him that whole way. And the unpaved hilly trails in harsh weather were not the only hazards Joseph and Mary would have faced on their journey south. One of the most terrifying dangers in ancient Palestine was the heavily forested valley of the Jordan River. Lions and bears lived in the woods, and travelers had to fend off wild boars. Archaeologists have unearthed documents warning travelers of the forest dangers, he said. And bandits, pirates of the desert, and robbers, who knows what they were like, were also common hazards along the major trade routes, like the one Joseph and Mary would have traveled. We go, adventure, let's take it. And we forget how difficult and painful the middle of an adventure could be. They went on an adventure. They were invited into an adventure when Jesus broke into the world. These characters that made it to be part of our nativity set today, they said yes to the adventure. There may have been others that said no, that went, I heard that might be happening, but I'm not up for the 90-mile trek with bears and lions. Or they may have gone, I may have heard that's happening, but I'm not really ready to reorient my whole work around it. That sounds a little bit too difficult for me at this stage in my life. These ones said yes to the adventure, and it was difficult and yet so worth it because they got to meet Jesus. When Jesus broke in to the world in this time when he was born, it had to be shared. That's the third thing that we see that these characters have in common. When Jesus broke in to their lives, it had to be shared. I mean, God tells the angels, they share. How many times does it show up that people were freaked out when the angels showed up? Because the angels couldn't contain themselves. They left heaven and went to earth. They took that adventure because they couldn't keep their mouths shut about what Jesus was about to do in the world. That's a big deal. They traveled from heaven to earth, okay? They had to share it. Mary, she immediately goes and tells her relative. When the angel shows up and tells her that she's pregnant with God's baby, she's like, I gotta tell someone. And she goes and tells Elizabeth. The shepherds, we hear that they all go back home and tell the people that they were living with and around about what they had just seen, what they had experienced, who Jesus was. I mean, at one point, the fact that Jesus was born and people were calling him Lord got all the way to the king. Now, if something today would get all the way to President Trump that happened in Batesville, Indiana, you guys would have had loud mouths, right? Like, you would have had to have been telling everybody you could, and they would have been telling everybody they could of what was happening if it made it all the way to the leader of the country. The wise men didn't keep their mouths shut. It got to the king, all the way to the king. And so when Jesus breaks in, we get to make a choice if it's going to be shared or not. And when Jesus broke in the Christmas story, these characters chose to share it. Jesus is still breaking in today. He's still breaking in today. And what was true for these characters is true now for you and me. We get the choice to go in the way of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men at Christmas time, in the new year, in the spring, in the fall. We get to make the decision to follow the same way that these characters went when they met Jesus. So let's just take this and put this in today's terms. When Jesus breaks in, if Jesus broke in right now in this moment, it would be unexpected. Because when Jesus breaks in, it's just about always unexpected. I remember going back to college. I expected that I was going to be taking a job, a marketing job at a company in Cincinnati, Fortune 500 company. I was all set to go. I was ready to take this role, and I got offered a job completely unexpectedly to come work on staff at Crossroads and figure out how we reach college students who are far from God. And this was in 2013. And so at the time, I was not expecting this meeting to go this way. I sat down, thought we were going to talk about, I have no idea what I thought we were going to talk about, but not this. And so I was on my way to go out of town. I stopped for this meeting only, and I get in the car. And in this moment, Jesus was breaking in. He was breaking in to my life in a completely new way, offering something new on the table. There was a new opportunity for me to meet Jesus in a new way, and I freaked out. I get in my car, and I immediately am like, what do I do? Like, my job decision for the other job was due in 24 hours. Now I have this new job offer. And so I do what any college student would do, and I called my brother. Not really. Lots of you are like, really, your brother? But yes, I called my brother. He was living in his fraternity house at the time. So I called Jake, and I'm on the phone. I'm sitting in my car. I'm crying. And he's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, Jake, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. They just offered me a job at Crossroads to start this new thing, and I don't know what to do. And he's like, Lena, are you crying because you have two job offers? And I was like, yes, that's why I'm crying. I don't know what to do. And he's like, this is stupid. I don't understand. But for me, it was such a big deal because it was unexpected. And I didn't know how to react. My emotions didn't know what they were doing. So I'm on the phone. I'm like, Jake, will you please just pray for me? And he's in his fraternity house and he's like, Mike, shut up. Jack, sit down. He's like, Lord, shut up. Lord, I just pray that you would meet Lena where she is right now. You give her clarity. And he prays for me on the phone. And I will tell you, that's not how I expected my morning to go. It's not how he expected the phone call to go for me, because when Jesus breaks in, it's often unexpected. And maybe you've experienced Jesus breaking in and it unraveled everything for you. You went, this wasn't the plan. Maybe right now, Jesus is breaking in some new way in your life and you're going, what does this mean for my future? What does this mean for my family? What does this mean for my church? What does this mean for my neighborhood? I don't know what to do about this because it's come completely out of the blue. Even if it's something you have been praying for and hoping for, it often shows up when you didn't expect it. These characters, they would have been praying for and hoping for the Messiah. They would have known the prophecies of what it was going to look like when he came. And still when he showed up, they weren't ready for it. They weren't prepared. And we're no different today. Still when Jesus shows up, we're often not ready for it and not prepared. And yet whoever was excited about a life that went exactly as it was planned. When we get to be 80-something, 90-something years old, how many of us are gonna be sitting with our grandkids or great-grandkids and go, my life was great because everything happened as I thought it was going to happen. Everything happened just as I thought it was going to happen, no more than what I thought it was going to be. None of us ever want to say that because surprises are what makes life interesting. And often when Jesus breaks in and it's unexpected, it ends up being way better than we ever could have imagined it to be. That turn that we take to go follow Jesus ends up being way better than if we had just stayed in the expected, boring other option. When Jesus breaks in today, just like when he broke in then, it is an invitation for us to go on an adventure. And I want to be really realistic when I say it's an invitation for us to go on an adventure, because that doesn't mean that it's just going to be the Instagram post at the end of the adventure. It means that there's probably going to be some lions and bears in the middle of it, some sore feet and achy backs in the middle of it. And yet, at the end of the adventure, isn't it always worth it? The stories, the memories, what we get to experience. And that's true about right now when Jesus breaks in. Maybe you have moved to a new city, a new place. Maybe you're considering a new job or you're considering a new move and you've gone on the adventure. I just spoke with a couple of you this morning who said, yeah, I moved to Batesville, Indiana 9 years ago, 15 years ago. And for different reasons, family, jobs, changes in what was going on in your life. And I can imagine that when you move across country, or you move even a half hour away into a brand new neighborhood, right? Sometimes it could start off being really exciting, and in the middle you're going, why did I do this? Why did I do this? I missed the people back home. Or my old job might have been easier. Or the weather is not as great as I thought it was gonna be. And yet, if you soak up what Jesus is offering in the midst of that adventure, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. That job that I took at Crossroads ended up being starting Crossroads Uptown, where we started in a house with some roommates, and we moved to a campus building, and then to a bar, and then to a permanent building. And in the middle of that, I remember sitting on my bed. And once again, crying. Do you see a theme here? Crying. Going, God, I don't know if I can do this. Like, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be. You know, it sounds great. Like, start a church. It's really hard. Scott, you know, like, Sean, you know, you're sitting in the middle of it right now in Batesville. It's hard to lead people. It's hard to start something new. And in the middle of it, oh, it's painful. It's painful. And I'll tell you that And when I got to baptize a friend that I had been praying for 3 years to come into a relationship with Jesus, when I got to baptize her, I would do this adventure all over again. Give me this adventure 10 times. I'll take the sore feet and the achy back and the long nights and the early mornings because it's worth it. And when Jesus breaks in and invites you into an adventure, it's gonna be hard in the middle and it's gonna be great at the end. So great at the end. And when Jesus breaks in, it's meant to be shared. When Jesus breaks in, we can't keep it a secret. Imagine if these characters would have met Jesus and gone, cool, great meeting you. Walked right home, right? Like, no, none of us would be sitting here. Our lives would look totally different. We might not even have life at all if it weren't for these characters who shared their experience in meeting Jesus. And then those people shared their experience of meeting Jesus. And those people shared their experience of meeting Jesus. And 2,000 years later, we get to sit in a room and we get to sing songs about him and to him. We get to read his words. We get to alter our life decisions, our career paths, our finances, who we marry, who we date, how we raise our kids. All of that gets to be shaped by this baby that was born on Christmas, because there were some people who decided it was worth sharing. And I can't imagine what my life would be like if people before me hadn't shared Jesus. So when Jesus breaks into your life, you get to make the choice if you're gonna share it or if you're gonna keep it secret. And I'll tell you, when you share it, it is amazing. When you share it, it makes the adventure worth it. It makes the unexpected times worth it, because you get to share in the joy with other people who maybe meet Jesus for the very first time. You get to share in the joy of other people who recognize that life doesn't have to stay the way it is today. You get to share in the joy of other people who recognize there is so much more that I haven't even tasted yet, because Jesus always has more for me. There's joy that comes in the sharing. You know, we at Crossroads, I get up just about every week and go, there's communities of people all over the country that are part of Crossroads, right? You guys are one of them here in Batesville, Indiana. And it takes a leader. It takes a few leaders. It takes some people who have had Jesus break in to their hearts and their lives, who have been up for the unexpected, who have said yes to an adventure, and who have gone, I'm willing to share this. It takes that for churches to start all over the country. This living room that we're in right now, this is as much a Crossroads as is the Crossroads Oakley building, as is Crossroads West Side, as is Crossroads Florence. This right here is as much a Crossroads as any of those, because the church is not the building. The church is the people. You are the church. You are the church. And when Jesus breaks into our lives, we get the choice if we want to be part of the church. We get the choice if we want to start a church. There were some fearless leaders in your midst who made the choice to start a church, who decided to share Jesus with you. And maybe you met Jesus 20 years ago. Maybe you're meeting Jesus for the first time right now. And nevertheless, it takes people to step up and go, I see Jesus breaking in this moment, and I'm gonna say yes to what he has to offer. You might be around the country, and maybe you watch Crossroads every week with a group of friends. Maybe you need to say yes to the adventure of inviting some of your neighbors into it to experience it with you, because Jesus is meant to be shared. Maybe you experience Crossroads by yourself every week. You put in your headphones, you pull out your phone while you're at the gym. That's great. We love that you're doing that. And maybe God's asking you to join a community of people near you to experience Crossroads that way. You know, I have a friend in New York City. Her name's Steph. I want her to experience the church. I want Steph to experience Crossroads. And the only way that happens is if there are other people who say yes to the adventure, who say yes to the unexpected, and who choose to share it in New York City. I mean, I think about Dave and Sue in McKinney, Texas, and their longtime friends of 20 years that they've invited into their home to experience Crossroads with them because they want to share Jesus through the church. I think about my cousins, Rob and Katie in Chicago, who are part of our church, equal parts of our church. And what would it look like for their friends and their coworkers and their schoolmates to get to meet Jesus through them? We get to make a choice what we're going to do when Jesus breaks in. And I would venture to say the best thing that you could do when Jesus breaks into your life is share it with other people. And we've got some great tools for you to do that, but you have to say yes. You have to be up for the adventure. Crossroads Anywhere is not the screen, or it's not the app, or it's not the video. Crossroads Anywhere is the group of people. And so if you feel like, man, I see Jesus breaking in, and I need to say yes to the adventure, I need to share it, there are lots of ways for you to do that. And it might be worth you going home today, might be worth you spending some time today and asking God, what's the vision? What's the idea? What's the church that you want me to be part of? Do you want me to start? Do you want me to build? Who are the people that you want to meet through me? Because the way that Jesus breaks into the world today is through you and through you and through you and through you. He showed up once in a manger. He lived a perfect life, and he died on a cross, a holy and blameless man, so that you and I could have life today, and so that he could continue to break into the lives of our friends and our family and our coworkers and our neighbors and our classmates through us. So I would spend some time asking God, how does he want to break in to the people around you through you? And if you want help figuring out what that could look like, you can always email me. You can always email us as a Crossroads team. You can send an email to hello@crossroads.net, and we'd be happy to help you figure out how to get started. This Christmas, we not only get to celebrate that Jesus broke in to the lives of these people in this nativity scene, but we get to celebrate the fact that he's breaking in every single day to our lives. And so let's just pray and thank him for doing that. God, I thank you that you are not a God that lived and died and that was it. But I thank you that you speak to us, you want to spend time with us, day in and day out. Thank you that you continually break in and you invite us to a bigger and better life than we ever could have imagined. Give us the confidence and the desire to share what you're doing in our own hearts and our own lives with the people around us. God, if you want us to start a church, you want us to start a group of people who goes after you together. Bring together a group of people that goes after you together. God, make that clear and give us the boldness to step into that. You are good, and we are thankful for the gift of your son, Jesus, this Christmas. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for having me this weekend. Thanks so much for doing something a little bit different than you normally do, because I know that usually you're watching church on a screen, you're watching the service on a screen, and so thanks for generously hosting me this morning. Want to let you know of a few things that are coming up before we end today. Next week is Christmas, surprise, which means it's also Christmas at Crossroads, and so every hour on the hour, December 23rd through 25th, you can experience Christmas at Crossroads with your friends and your family and your neighbors by just going to crossroads.net. And the following week, we have a special New Year's service, and it's kind of a best of 2018. So we'll get to see the best parts of this last year. It's going to be pretty sweet. And beginning on that New Year's weekend, every hour on the hour is when that's going to be streamed, and it will continue through the new year. So we'll have new streaming times in the new year. You don't have to remember obscure times any longer. Just every hour on the hour, you know that a Crossroads service will start. And so it should make it easier and simpler for you to remember and for you to invite your friends and family to experience it too. So I hope you have a great Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year.